Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up, where we will be talking about Married at First Sight, the reunion for the Boston cast part two. I am here, as always, Jason Reed, one of your co-hosts, and with me is Asia Welch, my other co-host, whose perception meter is always on 10. Asia, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, I try because, you know, I know it's a running joke at this point, but I am a great perception reader.
My perceptions are always good. I'm tired of people saying that I don't have good perceptions on things.
Oh, man. I mean, did you find this reunion to be as interesting as part one?
No, we could have cut a whole hour off of this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, been very succinct. Like we've been saying, we could have had an hour part two and an hour Where Are They Now. I think we all would have been very happy.
Yes, exactly. What are we doing here? I want to know who in the Married at First Sight production owns Lifetime. Because this primetime spot, I mean, same on at the same time as This Is Us. Shout out to This Is Us.
Well, not on exactly the same time. Well, no, because This Is Us is Tuesdays.
Oh, it is on Tuesdays. It is on Tuesday. I watch it usually Wednesday. Okay, it's on at the same time as Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
On at the same time as the new spot for Abbott Elementary. So it's just like, it's a great spot. Like Wednesday, middle of the week, that's when people are watching TV. And I just don't understand how we just found out that they are going to be airing an episode every week leading up to the premiere of season 15 in San Diego on July 6th.
Yeah, it's a bunch of specials. It's like Boston, look back. It's like one of them. And it's like, we just went through this a week ago. Why do we have to look back again?
Like, why are we looking back? Yeah, how is that a thing?
It's all these crazy specials. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if someone in the mass production has like a like dirty photos of like a Lifetime exec. And they're like, you're going to let us have a spot all year, every single Wednesday. We will never stop airing Married at First Sight content.
Literally. So for those out there who didn't know, so we had the part two this week. Next week, there is a Where Are They Now special, which we will be back to the podcast about. Okay. It looks kind of interesting.
It does. There are some, all the faces we love, and then there are some special guests.
Some additional faces
sprinkled in. Which is very interesting. So we'll see what we get up to there. But that one, I believe, is another 2 hour special where I'm just going to be like, I don't know about the 2 hours, but it'll be fun. You know, we will always make it fun. So no matter how good or bad it is, we'll be here to help you get through it.
Yes. June 8th, they'll have the Rules of Marriage, which I believe is hosted by Brianna from season 12, from Brianna and Vincent, and Beth from season nine.
Okay.
I think. And then June 15th, Boston, a look back, which you just referenced. So exciting stuff. We're looking back to May 25th and before. And then June 22nd, matchmaking special, San Diego. June 29th, kickoff special, San Diego. Then finally, July 6th is the premiere.
So did you see any of the little looks at next season? Like the little scenes we got? What did you think?
I think next season looks interesting. I think they have cast, you know, they kind of look like, I don't know if it's just me or they seem like they could be skewing a little bit older. Like, I mean, no one looked like older, but it didn't seem like people were in their 20s.
Interesting. So we don't have a Elijah Wan, Zach, right. Chris type of spot this year, you're saying.
The younger person is
obviously not ready for marriage.
I hope not, which, I mean, we'll see. I could be very wrong because I don't know anything about their ages. I just know what we've seen. And then I've seen like the cast photos of them together. But I don't know names. I don't know ages. So, I mean, it looks interesting. I mean, it's so hard to tell.
Well, I mean, it looked like Married at First Sight. It was like, right. You know, I didn't see anything that knocked my socks off, but they're not going to show us the really juicy stuff up front anyway.
Right.
And they kind of go in between, like, we don't want to show y'all who's on the cast. Mm-hmm. And then they show us like these scenes for the people that are on the cast. So it's like, pick a lane, Married at First Sight, pick a lane.
Yeah. But something I do want to talk about before we hop into part two is the expert update. So Dr. Viviana is out for next season. I don't know if out permanently, but she's at least not going to be back on season 15 because of competing projects. So they have replaced her with two experts. The first one is Devon Franklin.
So in the things I'm hearing, I've never heard of this guy, but apparently he is a little infamous. You sound like you maybe know a little more about it than I do. So you want to fill me and the listeners in?
Yeah. So Devon Franklin, he is I believe he's a pastor, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't credit him as a pastor in the article that I read that is talking about him. Yeah. They credit on Wikipedia. They credit him as a motivational speaker and a producer. He used to be married to Megan Good, and they wrote a book together called The Wait, about how, you know, waiting to consummate your marriage is beneficial.
I think I did hear about that book, but mostly from the Megan Good side. I didn't really clock the name of her husband that wrote the book with her, but that's interesting.
Yes, exactly. But the big news is that, you know, I said used to. So they're no longer together. And I don't know if that happened. I believe it would have happened before this season was filmed. I got to clarify filming dates for when they, you know, when they had their weddings and such. But if he's a single expert, what is that dynamic?
That's interesting. I mean, it may bring a new perspective, but this wouldn't be the first divorced expert. Dr. Pepper is once divorced. I do believe Cal is divorced. I do believe Cal's on his second
marriage.
But
they are currently in a marriage that they can reference.
Yeah, I still think he can bring a perspective to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll be so useless.
I feel like this was we're trying to get a name, a big name, because never before have we seen an expert that has like kind of has had a career up to this point. Like usually new experts, I've never heard of them before. And then now they're an expert on the show. But Devon Franklin, like he's out there. So I wonder what was the reason?
It sounds like you're not sold on this guy.
I'm not. I mean, I bought the book. I tried to read it, but it was too repetitive. So I have never finished it. I do like Megan Good.
I do too, but probably for different reasons.
probably, maybe. So they had a joint statement saying, like, when they broke up, they were like, after much prayer and consideration, we have decided to go into our future separately, but forever connected. We celebrate almost a decade of marriage together and a love that is eternal. There's no one at fault. We believe this is the next chapter in the evolution of our love.
Oh my, that's like next evolution of conscious uncoupling, I guess.
Yes. Like what?
So that's interesting.
So very interesting. Like not the average breakup post.
Yeah.
It's like the Zach of breakup post. Even though exactly. We said no, we are really saying yes.
Yeah. Never say never, but I'm saying never.
Right. Yeah. So I'm very interested about that selection. And so I'm really interested. I mean, we don't see the experts that much. So it's not like it's that much of a commitment for him. But the second expert is Dr. Pia Hollick. Excuse me if I'm saying that incorrectly. She's a psychotherapist who specializes in sex and couples therapy. And so, you know, I feel like she's filling Dr. Viviana's spot, you know, right, in the fact that they specialize in similar things. So I wonder why they didn't just go with her.
So now that there will be four experts, do you think that that changes anything? Do you think that we will see them more? Do you think that there will be one of these experts that are around more than the others? Maybe since we're moving to the West Coast, like maybe a couple, the two new ones are maybe based on the West Coast and can be around more.
Maybe.
What do you think?
I couldn't imagine that Devon Franklin is more available than Dr. Viviana.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, that I'm a little nervous. I don't know. I hope it's just not like, okay, we have him. He makes one appearance on an episode as his visit, and then that's a wrap. I'm very curious to see what perspective he's going to provide.
Interesting. I am optimistic. I will stay like positive. I don't want to judge him too quickly like you are, but I don't know him.
It's not quick judgment. I have sat on this since I found out yesterday.
I'm going to give him a chance. I haven't seen him. I haven't. Maybe once I do my digging, I'll find out stuff I don't like, and then that will change my perspective. But
yeah, I mean, there's nothing I dislike about him. I'm just concerned of just like the star power and the fact that he is known. He's fresh off this very public divorce. Just kind of what perspective is he providing for marriage and potential marriages? I wonder, is it going to be like a, you know, I just went through a very public divorce. So if you do find that your person is not your person, it is okay to say no.
It's okay.
Decision day. Yeah. So I don't know.
Honestly, we wish we would have somebody like that for Mark. This season, right?
Yeah,
be like, it's okay, absolutely. Mark, you can get divorced, it's fine,
right? But yeah, before we hop in to part two, let's highlight some reviews.
Let's do it. So I want to start out with a review from looks like Mrs. Jackson to You. It's titled Our Favorite Podcast. It starts out, my husband and I are obsessed with maths. When I discovered this podcast, I was hooked. I really look forward to it every week. You guys are the dynamic duo, a great mix of funny and interesting. Your reenactments have us laughing out loud. Jason, you are a fool. And Asia, forgive me if I got the spelling wrong. You are really sweet. I now listen to several other mass podcasts. Yes, I have a problem / don't judge me. But I have to say, this one is by far our favorite. Hubby and I listen to it when we are driving in the car together and we just crack up. Thanks for the laughs and keep it coming. Y'all new TV show I would definitely watch. Thank you, Mrs. Jackson. That was fantastic. I'm glad that you guys can listen in the car, because when I get in the car with my wife and I turn on our podcast, she tells me, I hear enough of your voice. I don't need to hear it again. So I'm very happy that you can listen to the podcast in the car with your significant other. I unfortunately can't do the same.
That's hilarious, because I work from home. My full-time job, and we went into the, like, everybody that I work with, we went into the office this week, and on the way back home, so my roommate also works at the same place, and she like closed her eyes while I was driving, and we had like a 40-minute drive. So I was like, are you asleep? And she said, no, do not turn on one of your podcasts. It's like, how'd you know? I could knock out like two podcasts on the way home.
Listen, on the other tip about us having a show, I definitely think that we could be like a daytime talk show. Like, we could definitely talk about some of the, you know, the top trending stories. I think we could do that. We should look into that.
I know. I was thinking, like, when we were diving into the experts, I was like, is this Miss Magnets?
Yeah, well, we could be a competing, you know, entity. Right. But nobody can compete with that podcast, let's be real.
Right. Yes. Y'all go out there and listen to Mess Magnets, hosted by Sasha Joseph and Kirsten McInnes. They're killing it over there. But yes, you know, I think I need to highlight it. I'm still thinking about this TV show. I'm like, what would the concept even be? But we could sit on that.
Yeah, we could brainstorm. If you guys have any ideas, you can let us know.
Yeah, yeah. We also have another review for Cameron from Cameron 11, subject, love the host. I look forward to this podcast after watching the show every week. You guys have a witty banter that I really enjoy. I wish you guys did a recap for all the reality TV I watch. Keep it coming. What else do you watch, Cameron? Let us know. Maybe we can watch it.
We can talk to the big boss. He might give us the permission. I don't know.
Right.
Asia, I did stumble upon another review that I just noticed. It's a very short one. So it's from KLPNY. It says, great maths team. Sounds promising.
Yeah.
I love Asia. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I'm looking at the back. I don't see... I don't see anything else.
Maybe their fingers slipped and they hit submit before they could say
we can have another Miss Barb situation. I don't know. KLPNY. Hey, we all agree. We all love Asia.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that feedback. KLPNY.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
One of the best. Reviews we've gotten. I appreciate it.
It's an even better review than that guy JREED left that one time, you know, a couple seasons ago, that really complimented me. So I'm glad you got one too.
Right. Yeah, sure. Spread the love, Jason. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not hating at all.
Okay. Okay. That's good. But thank y'all for these 5-star reviews. Definitely go out there, leave us more 5-star ratings and reviews. We'll shout them out on the podcast. We'll be back for Where Are They Now. We will have an off season podcast that's going to drop at some point in between next week and the premiere of season 15. So just go out there and show us some love. We really appreciate it. We love seeing that people are actually out there listening.
For sure. Especially KLPNY.
Yeah. Right. Special place in my heart.
Everybody's heart.
Yeah. So let's get started. What did they do on this part two?
So we're going to start where the show started, right? So we're going to go, we got right into the ladies meeting with all the ladies. Like, we started the show with Kevin, like, around all the ladies. I was like, oh, we're just jumping into it. That's cool. Yeah. So, you know, we start off with Kevin greeting all the ladies. The ladies all look like, I was like, this is giving real Power Ranger vibes with all these different colors. Like,
they didn't match on purpose. They coordinated what colors they were wearing. And just, you know, just like any girl friend group.
Yeah, so we get into we start with the drama, so Alyssa, you know, we learned that you blocked Lindsay pretty soon after you guys met. So Kev asked Lindsay about it. Lindsay talks about how, you know, she let them know that she was intense. Like, they went around talking about all their flaws. Lindsay's like, yeah, I'm pretty intense. But of course, Alyssa says, oh, I have nothing. I don't have really any flaws to talk about. And, you know, apparently Lindsay had commented to her about that and said, I don't even believe that, or something like that, probably. And yeah. So Alyssa, you know, went ahead and blocked her on social media.
Naturally.
Naturally. And so Lindsay claims that the next day, she realized Alyssa blocked her and called Alyssa to apologize and say, you know, I'm sorry if, you know, I said something that upset you. Lindsay says, no, that's actually pretty much a lie. You did call me the next day, but you actually like kind of were mean to me. And I asked you if you were going to be that way to me, not to talk to me anymore. Kevin asks if anyone else has Lindsay blocked. And Jasmina says, well, I didn't block her, but I didn't follow her.
And which is, like, that's an active effort, like, to unfollow someone that, like, you are intentionally wanting none of their energy. Like, if I unfollow somebody, it is so on purpose. It's not just like, oh, gosh, this person posts too much. Let me just unfollow them. Or, oops, that's unfollow. No, it's usually, I want none of this energy in my life anymore. Unfollow.
When it wasn't even a mute, it was just like an unfollow.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't want to see any of your nonsense to fill my head. I don't even want to risk that I accidentally unmute you to see your crap. Kevin says, oh, really? Well, we'll get back to that. And then Kevin asks if anyone's surprised by the breakups. Katina says she knew that Lindsay and Mark were butting heads. You know, the same for Jasmine and Mike, but it all happened so fast. Noi thought that Jasmine and Mike could make it work, but they didn't have their communication issues. And she was surprised that Mark and Lindsay, you know, broke up like within a few, like a month or so of decision day. Kevin asks Katina, Katina and they, you know, Kevin, I want to like be cool with you, but no, you really were not it this reunion. Kevin's like, oh, Katina and Olajuwon, they just make you smile.
They this bring us be, joy. Yeah. Wait, what?
This would not be the end of Kevin the kissing Olajuwon's butt this episode.
I have to believe that Kev has seen highlights from the season, because how is he having this view? Maybe Olajuwon has an in-person charm that we're not aware of, but Kev is just like, oh, you know, had no hope for you, but now we love you. We can't help but to smile when we think about you. However, so I don't feel that way.
No, I mean,
I'm still very much on the fence.
Yeah, like you said, Olajuwon's obviously like a charmer, like in real life, apparently, because I mean, he's charmed the Married at First Sight like production. He charmed the experts. He's charmed, like, he's already charmed Kev, apparently.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's an in-person thing. We just don't understand through the TV.
Yeah.
Kevin's asking about the the stuff between Olajuwon and Katina. He shows us a montage of all the things that Olajuwon has done to Katina. Kevin asks Lindsay about the clip, and she says, I love O, but he can be wrong, but he does own up to it. He does say he's sorry. Jasmina says, the people don't see him correct himself. And Kevin says, no one else has grown like Olajuwon, and my eyes are just rolling around in my head. Katina says that, Kev asks, so Katina, how do you deal with this now? And he's like, well, I just talk ish back when we have issues. And I was like, okay. I was like, at least there's that, hopefully. Like, I don't know.
Right. It's just like, it's like he hasn't changed, but she has changed to be able to like dish it back.
She's brought like, down to his level. He has made her worse.
Yeah, like that's not the compromise. Y'all should be headed in a more positive direction. So that was very confusing to me. But I guess real quick on the girls, the dynamic of all the ladies. Like they were saying, they have a group chat together. But if everybody is kind of done with Lindsay, how does this work?
I think that it's like, it's a group chat. This is my son under their breath, minus Lindsay. Like,
yeah,
that's just, I get like, I don't know, like maybe they just didn't say that part like out loud, but I think we're to understand that from the feelings I get from this whole reunion, that Lindsay is probably not in those group chats.
Gotcha.
Maybe there's a group chat of the whole group with Lindsay. And then there's that secret group chat with everyone but Lindsay.
It's like we speculated at the beginning of the season. They have the whole group chat and then they have the ones without Alyssa. But no, it's really with Alyssa, but without Lindsay.
Yeah, exactly. It's the opposite of what we thought. It's like the group chat titled, the real ones. Like, this is the real group chat. Lindsay's like, that group chat hasn't been very active in a while. And they're like, oh, yeah, we just get busy. We don't respond.
Yeah, girl, we don't talk. We don't talk.
But, really, we're all in the group chat that you're not in, Lindsay.
Right.
So we get a clip from the retreat, and Kev asks, like, so were y'all surprised that Steve and Roy were having issues? Katina and Jasmina say, they are very surprised that argument they had in the retreat. between Steve and Noy, which is like not really an argument because Noy was just like, I don't want to talk about it. So, you know, because we got that clip from Jasmine saying that they were the paradise couple. And we were like, not really. So they really didn't know what was going on, even though Noy, if they followed Noy on social media, they could probably like figure out something was going on. Maybe they didn't follow her at that time. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and that was odd because, I mean, I guess, I mean, to the couples, they seem like the picture perfect couple, like the what is it? The, what were their names from season? Jessica and her guy.
Was it Austin?
Yeah. Yes. Like it seemed like Steve and Noy were that to them. And I mean, I can respect the privacy.
But yeah, I mean, Noy the whole season was like, I don't want to talk about this in front of the couples. But then you went on to social media and subtweeted.
Yes. Don't do both.
So Kevin asked all the ladies about how do y'all feel about Steve not having a job? Katina says when she heard about it, she just figured that he had money and, you know, she could see the drive that Steve had. So she didn't really have any issue with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then we get Lindsay chiming. It's like, no, he needs a job.
Right.
Fine if you have money or your family has money, but she needs a man with drive.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's when it's just like, just worry about your own relationship, which is what you would hope that all the couples could do. But of course they don't, especially if their own relationship is like doing its own, like it's in shambles. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, okay, then I can be concerned with other people. But yeah, I love that. I did like this from Jasmine and Alyssa just being like, we didn't judge him. Okay. Like it was just like, I can assume that there's something going on where I don't have to judge him for not having a job.
So we switched the topic over to Lindsay and Kevin says, Lindsay, there was a lot of times where you really rubbed the ladies the wrong way. And we get a montage of all the times that Lindsay has put her foot in her mouth and, you know, said something really awful and all the reactions to that. Kevin asks her if her non-filter has gotten her in trouble. Lisa says, you know, it does, but I love the feedback and I can always learn. And we, you know, you get this like look from Alyssa that was like, whatever. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like she learns, but I don't know. Each their own.
Yeah, no, it's a nice thing to say because it's like, oh, people, like it gives this facade of growth. Because you're mm-hmm. saying like, oh, you know, I'm using this as a learning opportunity. I'm doing this like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm growing. Like if you're saying it without doing it, it's just a facade. And so she's not truly learning anything from any of this.
And it's even worse if you say like that you are learning and not really learning instead of just being oblivious to the fact like, oh, I'm not even learning. I'm just fine. Everything is fine. But you are actively saying you're learning while actually not learning anything. That's right. Even worse. So Kevin asks Alyssa, so does Lindsay, you know, does she make you uncomfortable? Lindsay says, yes, she makes me uncomfortable all the time. Then Lindsay says, whoa, 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 let's be real. You blocked me, but you were sending messages to my husband on Instagram and you were told not to be at the apartments, but you were always there and you were always telling everybody that I wasn't a good person. And you were telling Mark not to interact with, I was telling Mark not to interact with you. And since you weren't there for marriage, you should have just stayed home and not come to our apartment butting into our lives.
Oh, because that's what ruined your relationship, Lindsay. Got it.
Yeah, that's what did it. Right. Alyssa says that's, you know, what Lindsay's saying is not true. She's not sure where the confusion is with the whole, you know, IG DMs, but Mark reached out to her first and she has never talked badly about Lindsay or their relationship. Katina chimes in and says she has seen the message between Mark and Alyssa, and they are in no way inappropriate. They are totally fine, just friends talking. And then we get like this other story where Lindsay talks about a moment where she was, I'm not sure if this was like before the honeymoons or maybe like on their way to the reunion or something, but she says she talked to Alyssa about being rude to people. And Alyssa, you know, gave the nicest person line that she always gives. It's not true. I'm a nice person. And Lindsay basically says that you are actually not a nice person. And you are very rude. And Alyssa, you know, shoots back, well, just because we're not friends does not mean you have to disrespect me like that. And I have never said a bad word about you. And the fact that you are making these things up is my problem with you, Lindsay, that you just are making up stuff that I'm saying, that I never say anything bad about you. So that's my problem with you, Lindsay.
And Jasmina and Katina co-sign it. And they're like, look, Alyssa never talks bad about you. Okay. Yeah,
she's never said a word about you. She doesn't care about you, I think is what Jasmina says.
She doesn't care enough to talk about you when you're not here. And that's my issue, is that Lindsay thinks that because there's a mutual dislike for one another, that Alyssa is doing what Lindsay's doing, right? Yeah. And it's so annoying because she thinks there's this feud and Alyssa just doesn't care enough for there to be a feud. There has to be like a, I wish we were better, or I wish we could be friends, or I wish we could be civil. Alyssa does not care to do any of that, but Lindsay wants her to care. So then it becomes this like, come on, you know, fight me.
Oh, fight. Alyssa's right? Like, I just don't care about you at all. I just don't want you in my life. I don't want to say anything good or bad about you, but to indifference is like such an insult to Lindsay that she either have to hate her or love her, and mm-hmm. she will respond to you whichever way that you go, hate or love, but she cannot have you just not thinking about her at all. She wants to be in your head.
Yes, she's like, I just have such a big personality, you have to feel one way or another about me. There's no way you can feel nothing.
Yeah. So Kevin asks, you know, Lindsay, if it's so, is the beef squashed or no? Lindsay says, I have no love lost and I know the truth and I'll just leave it at that. So then we get into this other conversation that we've learned about.
Right.
You know, apparently on the way from taping one of the after parties, there was a confrontation between Jasmina and Lindsay, where Jasmina says they were riding back from the taping and they got into it because Lindsay was saying bad things about Alyssa. And Jasmina stood up for Alyssa and said, don't talk about her like that when she's not here. And Lindsay told her that she could just get out of her car if she wanted to walk to the airport. and she said that Jasmina was getting loud. So apparently this was a Jasmina, Noy, and Lindsay car ride. And so basically Jasmina and Lindsay put Noy in the middle of this. And it's like, Noy, you were there. Whose story is more accurate? And Noy basically like sticks up for Jasmina's side of story and says, you know, Jasmina's not getting loud. Yes, Lindsay was talking about Alyssa, and Jasmina asked her not to talk about Alyssa, but she did never in any way get loud. And then Lindsay just said this, like sitting there with this pouty look on her face, like, you didn't back me up. Like, I thought you were my friend.
Yeah.
I just imagine Noy in that car, because Noy is so, like, you know, confrontation, like, averse.
Yes.
That she had to just be, like shrinking, just trying to get out of there, like, while these two people were arguing. You know, I can just imagine how uncomfortable she was.
Yeah, she's very even keel, and it seems like there's no need for her to get involved in this conflict. She's like, I don't have a heavy feeling against these people. So I can only imagine her inner turmoil when Jasmina was like, come on, back me up. She's like, oh my gosh, why is she calling me? How did I get brought into this?
No, I said, my name's Bennett and I ain't in it.
Yes.
So Kevin then brings up the whole lion versus eagle tattoo debacle, where, you know, we heard Alyssa say that her soulmate had an eagle tattoo when really it was a lion tattoo, but Alyssa changed it for the cameras to make Noy feel better. And so in this roundabout way, we really find out that Lindsay was the one that really started this whole like story going around. It's a true story, but Lindsay heard it from Chris's groomsman or something. And like spread it throughout the whole cast, throughout the whole production, that put it in everybody's DMs, like, hey, guess what, blah, blah. So we find out that Lindsay is pretty much the one really spreading this, which I don't think anyone's really surprised by.
I'm shocked. Lindsay? Yeah. Lindsay was the one. I never would have guessed it.
And Noy is like, I was just upset because I didn't want Alyssa to think that Steve was her soulmate. And I was like, boy, is that... You really think that? Let's see. It's kind of like a childish thing to think. Like, you think Steve Driscoll because he has his tattoo.
Yeah.
Like, okay, calm down. Although Alyssa did, like, seem to think it was a thing.
Yeah.
So Kevin goes around and basically asks everybody, what kind of man do you think, you know, everyone else, you know, needs? So Kevin asks, what type of guy do you guys recommend for Lindsay? Katina says adventurous, patient, and someone who has money. Jasmina says that she agrees, and also someone that can make Lindsay orgasm, because apparently that was an issue with Mark. Noi says someone who's strong and stable and loves her and accepts her for who she is. Kevin asks the same about Jasmina. Lindsay says for Jasmina, she needs someone that's family focused, a good father, someone that's, that is patient with a kind heart. Noi says for Jasmina, someone who is intellectual. Alyssa says caring and compassionate and someone who could take care of her.
And Lindsay like, says, who does that sound like?
Yeah, then Lindsay says, well, you know, this kind of sounds like we're talking about Mike here. So, I mean, what was the problem?
Right. She's like, y'all didn't talk about communication, which right. is their one major issue. And I can tell you communication. I mean, you can tell me that communication is a very important thing in a marriage. I mean, and I can, if from an outsider looking in for two marriages, I can imagine because I know the importance of it in any relationship. Sure. Communication could be the detriment. I don't care how much y'all get along, how much you have in common, how much you were just your astrological signs align. If you don't have good communication, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. So they ask about Alyssa. What kind of a guy does Alyssa need? Katina says she needs a country cowboy. And Jasmine is like, I was going to say that. Jasmine is trying to chime in first. She's like, oh, yeah, I was going to say what Jasmine said.
Yeah.
They go on to describe like their perfect cowboy. And Alyssa says, well, I do like to do country things like shoot guns and drive four wheelers and ride horses. So that's just what I'm attracted to. Alyssa.
Well, hey.
Yeah, so that was pretty much the ladies meeting. You know, a lot of drama, a lot of really nonsense. I felt like,
yeah,
I think this is probably the most you know, the cast, the most friction between the ladies, I think, if I can really think of.
Yeah, it was like I really felt like this was like the meat and potatoes of this whole mm-hmm. part too, because it gave so much, and I was like, "Whoa, we just finished the women. Like, what are the men gonna give?" And it was,
and the men gave nothing.
Nothing. It was as if the women gave this full like 3-layer cake, and the men gave like a quarter of a slice.
I want to say the women were like 15 minutes, and the men were about 5. Like, yes. If I had to really think about it and remember, I'm sure that's not accurate, but that's what it felt like. The men's smell felt like a third of the women's time.
Yes, because they're just the bros and none of them have conflict within each other, so they didn't have much to say. So let's dive into it. Baby. Right.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So the guys are all together with Kevin Frazier, and we get that sound. We get the clip of Olajuwon saying, like, oh, she never takes accountability for herself. She's the first one to point the finger. And he's talking about Lindsay. So, as we suspected, wasn't talking about Katina. He's talking about Lindsay. And we find out from Mark that the last time they got in an argument, Lindsay spit on his shirt. I'm sorry. And I literally was talking to my roommate about this earlier. There has never been a point in my life that I have been so mad at someone that I said, let me spit on them. Like, never.
I was like, she spit on your shirt. I said, and my thought process was like, did she really spit on you, or did she get animated and there was some spittle that came out, which later will be Lindsay's kind of, I think, rationale.
I believe Mark.
Believe Mark. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it. Look, I'm not saying I couldn't see it, mm-hmm. but it's just that's a big step to cross, like huge.
Because even in her defense of this accusation that they later talk about, it wasn't like she said spit on it. Why would I spit on you? I would never do something so disrespectful. Like, I would not spit on you. It was just like, I didn't spit on him. There was that, like, I felt like there was nothing to back it up. I feel like if someone accused me of spitting on you and on them, I would be so offended that was even said, because I would never do that.
But if you're going to spit on somebody, like, really spit on them. Don't spit on their shirt. Like, if I'm spitting on somebody, I'm spitting on their face.
That's so gross.
It is. But if I'm going for the spit, I'm making it count.
Oh, my God.
I don't spill your shirt. What's that going to do? You can wash that off.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. And Mark does talk about how, like, this is the worst bullying he's ever dealt with. We get a flashback of all the times that she was helping him. And Mark starts crying because he's just like, you know, it's kind of really hard to look at this again and relive that. He's like, life's good now, but it's just like all of that was a lot. Then we move on to like Chris and Alyssa, and Kevin Frazier asked Chris, is Alyssa a good person? And Chris gave a very middle of the road answer. He's like, that's very a loaded political. Question. pretty much that's it.
I wish somebody would have stepped up and be like, no, she's not a good person.
Yeah.
Like, I'll answer it for you.
Lindsay Chris. Said that earlier.
Yeah.
So then they talk about Noy saying she wasn't going to move in. Steve didn't see it coming, but she did move in. So that's a non-issue.
We already tackled this like the first part. I'm just saying why we're going back to this.
They said, what else? What do we ask Steve? What do we need to ask Steve? Ah, she said she wasn't going to move in. Let's talk about that.
And then he was like, last time it was like, yeah, she's there 6 nights a week. So it's basically like we're living together.
Right. The fact that they talk like later, they talk to the experts again about it. And Kevin's like, it concerns me that they're not living together. They said they're together 6 nights a week. What do you mean? What do you want from them? I feel like that's not even like a middle of the road. It's not like 3 nights together, 4 nights, not six.
Yeah. But Steve says, I just need to know that she was committed. After that, she can basically live wherever she wants. I was like, what? Like,
any state.
Like, now she can live wherever she wants. You know, before right. You were like all about like, oh, I don't want you doing that.
Right. Then we talk about Olajuwon's idea of a wife. And, you know, Olajuwon's like, oh, yeah, let's get into it. And Steve's like, look, I feel like Olajuwon has learned a lot in this process. And Olajuwon talks about how now she's making stuff he's never even eaten before.
Yeah, like Mike was like, now when she makes him something, he calls me. He sends me pictures. Like, oh, my wife put it down.
Yes. So Chef Katina is out there. Then we move on to Mike and Jasmina talking about like what Mike could have done differently. And Mark tells him, like, just next time, just don't overthink it, because you have a lot of qualities that a woman would love.
Leave it to Mark, because Mark said like the same thing like 5 times in a row. Just in different ways when answering the question. Like, I wrote it down. I was like, what? Why am I writing the same thing over and over again? Relax, overthought. You're overthinking. Relax.
Yeah.
Like, this Boston cast is like, I don't want to disparage Boston at all.
Yeah.
But they have the most interesting ways with language I think I've ever heard. Like, uh-huh. It's such an interesting between Olajuwon, Mark. Basically those two. They have like such interesting ways of speaking.
Yes, they do. Yeah, their vocabulary is like, if you were gonna ask me a question where my answer was yes, I'm gonna respond, hola.
Yeah. Olajuwon's Spanish lessons really paying off.
Right. Duolingo is free. Pick it up. So yeah, that was it for the guy segment.
Yeah, so then we get into the experts, where Kevin brings the three experts out on stage, and I really wanted this to be like a "Where were you?" like type of thing. It didn't really get to that. I mean, not surprisingly, because you know Mary Forsyth is controlling this. But Kevin asks them what surprised them most. Pepper says, "I didn't expect Lindsay and Mark to be so combustible." Cal says, I think we're all really surprised at Chris and Alyssa. Everyone says, yeah, they expected more out of Alyssa and thought she would give more effort. Pepper says that she's shocked that, you know, Alyssa saw nothing in Chris because they thought he was a fantastic husband. He'd make a great guy to be someone's husband. Kev asks, so did you guys think there'd be four yeses on this? Cal says, no, definitely not. We were hopeful, but this really exceeded our expectations. Like, I was kind of surprised if Vivian was like, no, definitely not. Like, I thought I'd be like, yeah, we expect five yeses when we start the season.
After Houston, they better have low expectations.
Kevin asked, do you guys feel like that the four yeses was magic? Pepper says, well, you know, they do believe they can create lifetime marriages, but there's so much that we don't know. And so when we go into the process, we're hopeful, but you know, we there's a lot of unknown that we can't foresee. Kev asks if they are frustrated that someone the couple split. Cal says they thought that they would all make it. Kev's like, even Mark and Lindsay, and they're like, oh well, not necessarily.
Well, apparently Dr. Viviana was totally believed in Mark and Lindsay. I was like, okay.
Maybe after this, they saw that, like, Mary first sight was like, maybe we should give Viv a season off. Right. Maybe her picker is not going great.
Yeah. What? Is she okay?
Yeah. So Viviana says, you know, I thought when the cameras left, they would find a more mellow place and settle into something more healthy. Not quite. No. Kevin asked them about Katina and Olajuwon, and, you know, and saying, you all talked to Olajuwon about needing to speak to Katina more respectfully. I don't really know about that. We get a montage of them lightly condemning Olajuwon for how he speaks to Katina, especially Pastor Cal, who very lightly took, condemned Olajuwon speaking of her.
Light as a feather.
Yeah. Kevin says, O came out here, right? And he took the blame for what he did. He said he looked crazy, but it was so beautiful and special to see how much he's grown. And he applauds Katina for her patience. Kev says, you guys really hit a home run there.
I need to see the director's cut. Because show me the director's cut. Because this man has just blown Kevin Frazier out of the water.
I thought you said something else.
Oh, my gosh. It's just, I am so confused. And I think maybe it's just his charm, but it does blow my mind that Kevin was so impressed. I think it's just because he was so caught off guard that's what he got from Olajuwon, that he got a proposal. He got him reflecting on his actions. But it's just like actions speak so much louder than words. And so it's not, when you're in front of people, you are treating Katina with respect and you're treating her as your partner and you're as your equal. You know, we don't know. We have this perception that he now sees that, because at this point, you know, only a little bit of the season has aired real time by at the point of the reunion, because I think they filmed the reunion like February or March. And so he now sees people's perception of him. So he knows what the right thing to say is.
Yeah, I cannot imagine what Kevin has seen that has really like impressed him that much. He's like lavishing praise onto Olajuwon. But hey, not everyone's perfect. So we'll give Kevin this one. I don't think I've ever seen him like put this much praise on one person.
Yeah, before. I know.
So then Kevin asks how, you know, are you guys really proud of Noy and Steve? And Viviana says, like, she's shocked with how, like, insightful and thoughtful as Steve is. And she even says, like, he could be, like, a therapist on the side. Like, that's how good he is. I think we said that at one point.
Yeah.
Like, how, like, he's so calm and, like, even keeled. He could have been one of the experts. And yeah. So like, Vignon pretty much agrees with us.
Hey, maybe, I mean, well, for sure, it backs up our point that past couples should mentor future married couples on Married at First Sight during the season. But then also, you know, Steve's not speaking from much experience, so maybe Devon Franklin will do fine as a divorce expert. Who knows?
That's the spirit. So we get into the revelation that that Dr. Pepper, you know, lives apart from her husband, and then she reiterates pretty much what she said on the show. It's like, well, you know, we're older. We both had our kids with our previous spouses. We already were living in houses that we love, so we just figured, why change all that up? We'll just go back and forth. And you know, but she says it's different for a marriage that is brand new, because you really want to be able to spend all your available time together to really solidify your marriage. And she said, but if that's what Noi needs, then who am I to say what she needs? So, you know, so be it. So Viviana says she doesn't like the fact they're not living together. And this is not a Carrie and Big type of thing.
Yeah. Now,
I'm not very versed in Sex and the City. Like, I know that's what that reference is from.
Yeah.
But I guess something similar happened on that show. I don't know.
No, I'm same as you. Knew exactly what she was referencing, but I have no context because yeah, I have never. I've seen episodes here and there. I saw the first Sex and the City movie, but yeah, I'm not. I can't remember that specific situation.
Yeah. So Viv says, you know, a new marriage needs more time, and she wonders how Steve won't become insecure now that, you know, Noi is living, you know, not with him every day. But I'm like, it's 6 days a week. It's pretty much. Almost
right.
Exactly the whole week. Cal says that he knows that Noi adores Steve, but she has to get over some of her fears, but he thinks they'll be all good. And that was basically like the expert section. I wasn't blown away by it.
Me neither. I think we could have done without it. I feel like we got enough of their thoughts during the sit down with the couples that broke up. But I guess the point of this was that so that they could talk about the couples that stay together. Since they did give their thoughts on Katina Lajuan, Steve and Noi, and then we could get deeper once they sat down with the broken up couple.
Yeah, we got like, so we'll get into all the expert meetings with the couples, but I was surprised that they didn't meet with the couples that stayed together. Like, I didn't realize until like we got to the group sitting at the end. I was like, oh, they didn't sit down with everybody?
Yeah. Maybe they did and they cut it. I don't know, but that, yeah, it's weird. Like, why wouldn't they want to show the sit with the success?
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. I guess it's only so much time. They could have made this a 3-hour special, so I think we'll just be thankful that they left it where it is.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to go back and see if they sat down.
They only sat down.
Yeah, they sat down with Rachel and Jose last season.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They did. I see some dialogue between Dr. Pepper, Viviana,
they had a hiccup in their relationship, you know, since Decision Day.
Because
you know, they had broken up since Decision Day. We're just getting back together once when their reunion was happening.
Yeah. 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 True. So then we dive into the sit down. So first they sat down with Jasmina and Michael. Dr. Viviana is very sad. She is sad that they did not work out. And it's very apparent and clear throughout this entire segment that she is just disappointed.
Join the club, Viv. Join the club.
Right. So Jasmina and Michael are basically saying like, okay, it wasn't until this... I mean, you know, they didn't talk really for 2 weeks. They had this big blow up, and that's basically the end of it. And Dr. Viviana was like, what was this blow up? What happened?
This huge mega fight that y'all got into. I was on the edge of my seat, wanting to know what this epic fight was about.
Yes.
And go ahead and tell us, Asia. We're ready for the big news about what this fight was about.
Right. Earth shattering. Prepare yourselves. Hold on to something if you're listening and you can grab something. Don't want you to fall over. So Jasmina she didn't go to work for a couple of days and she needed to use his laptop. She was like, and you know, they're staying at their own places. So she was like, hey, Mike, can I borrow your laptop? All right, cool. Then the day of, she asked him, like, hey, can I borrow your laptop? And he's like, you never said you needed it. So they got in an argument because, Mike, she did need your laptop, but you thought y'all didn't agree.
Like, what in the world was this? I was like, that's it.
And I was like, okay, and?
The vibe that I got was that Jasmina took this a lot, like, more seriously than Mike did. I think Mike even says, like, I didn't even think that laptop thing was anything. Like,
yeah,
certainly not something to break up our marriage over. But really, Jasmina thought differently. I just, this, put this in the evidence pile of, like, you know, things against Jasmina, because Jasmina seems to take even the slightest things super, super seriously.
Yeah, she's like, you don't care about me and you don't care about my needs for a laptop? I'm done with you.
It's something I learned throughout this second part is that a lot of these people are very petty about very little things. Like, it amazed me that it was over something this small that they had this huge blow up over.
I was shocked. And Jasmina keeps doubling down and saying, like, look, the one time he came over in that 2 weeks, he keeps throwing that in my face. All he did was come over and sit on my couch. And Mike feels like he did all he could do. And she's like, look, she's explaining how he didn't do all he could do. And he tries to talk. And she's like, I'm not done talking. And he says, I'm sorry. And it's just like, it's the same thing we saw like week 3 of their marriage, of just not knowing how to communicate with one another and just assuming the worst as they're talking to the person. So they're not listening. They're not hearing what the person is saying. No, maybe they're hearing it, but they're not listening. Right. And Pastor Cal was like, look, what I see are two people who had some life left in their marriage, but they had some needs that weren't being realized. And Dr. Viviana's like, look, y'all are both trying to prove you like each other. Dr. Pepper said, your perception meter is off.
That dang perception meter. I think Jasmina asked Mike, so can you say that you actually try as much as I did? And the thing that I get most frustrated about in these like reunions is they'll ask this pointed question to somebody and we never get the answer to it.
Never.
We always get their face and then we just cut away to something else. Like, I'm sure Mike said something like, you know, maybe I didn't, you know, text you or call you every day, but I was there trying. They just left the conversation.
Yeah.
I was like, and it happens a few times throughout this reunion. And it's an old Married at First Sight trick. Like, we never get full answers to questions, which is annoying. But yeah, I do want to know what Mike, what were you doing? Like, why did you think that you didn't have to text her back? Or what was your level of effort? Like, what
it's
was
like,
your
did he just effort? Did he just shut down? You know, like, not knowing what to do, so he did nothing. And he's like, I don't know how to get us to a place. Like, I'm sitting here, there's no camera crew, there's no one to ask the advice to. Like, he has the guys, but, you know, does he want to open up and be vulnerable and say, like, look, I just don't know how to get things going with Jasmina now that we're done filming? Like, what? I don't know how he thought he was doing more.
And it's got to be a stark difference going from, which is the reality of living your life as a MAFS participant, where you have a producer in your face every, you know, couple hours asking you, you know, detailed questions about your relationship, which gives you ideas to go talk to your spouse about, to just nothing at all.
Yeah.
And Mike just doesn't seem self-motivated enough to really like do the work.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he apparently got to this point where it was like, you know what, I'm just gonna end it. Like, and it surprises me that he was the one that ended it, which, you know, it could have been a thing where like they came on this reunion and was like, yep, we're still married, but we haven't talked to each other in like 8 months. Because like Jasmine doesn't care enough to end the relationship. She doesn't want to see him the bad guy, it seems like. She doesn't want to come off as the cold, heartless person that ended this relationship because she wasn't feeling Mike.
Yeah.
And Mike doesn't see himself motivated enough to really do anything about their relationship. So I am a little surprised that somebody ended it.
Yeah, like it's definitely not a Mark and Lindsay situation. They don't hate each other. Like, I feel like they like each other as people. They don't despise each other. So it just it puts us on an emotional roller coaster because we see them being all friendly. But then we see like, this marriage just was not, that wasn't it for y'all. Like, y'all are destined to just be like bro and sis.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Cal tells them that this argument they had, like, this is marriage. He's like, you got to realize no one is out to get you. You have arguments in marriage. And he kind of gets cosigns from the other experts. Listen, and from Kev.
Can confirm. Okay. this stupid laptop fight are fights that happen, and they mostly in most relationships get blown over within a matter of minutes. Not what was apparently a bitter, like, you know, argument between these two. It's like, right. Well, I told you I needed this. Like, you didn't really say you needed it. Like, that's something that happens on the regular. Okay.
Right.
It's not a big speed bump in a marriage, typically.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be. And Jasmine is like, yeah, I hear that. But you got to have feelings when you have these arguments, because once you have the arguments, feelings are still there. She's like, it's hard to have arguments when you don't have those feelings, because then it's just harder for her to get those feelings because they're having all these arguments.
Here we go with Jasmine and her feelings again.
I think it would have been great if, you know, she just finally admitted that she has admitted she wasn't attracted to him, and she has admitted that she didn't have those feelings for him. But I think it'd be great if she had admitted that there just was not, that she had friend zoned him. And I think they touched on that in part one, and her agreeing that she had friend zoned him.
But she still said there could have been something.
Right. Like, I think she needs to admit there was no potential.
Yeah. She turned the corner and saw a short man and was like, this isn't going to work.
Right. She said, basically, she just doesn't feel like he's her person. But at this point, it's like the experts trying to convince them, y'all need to give it a shot. Like, there's never too late. And she's like, look, I just don't think he's my person. And Dr. Viviana's like, look, you're going to go back into the dating pool and you're going to say, what the frick was I thinking? And Pastor Guy's like, y'all could have been a power couple. And Jasmine is like, look, in this moment, I don't want to see if that's possible.
And it was like, kudos to the mass production, because we had the little music bed, you know, going under the conversation. And it was just, we get these rousing speeches from the experts, like, you know, never say never. Anything's possible. You two could still make it. You could be a power couple. And Jasmine's like, nope, that's not going to happen. I am not in a place where this can be anything other than friendship. And the music just stops. It's like, brrr, like,
right.
It just harshed all of our buzzes. Like, that's not going to happen. It's kind of like a message to us as the fans, like, stop hoping, because these two are just going to stay friends forever.
Yep.
Like, they're never going to get together.
She's like, give it up. Y'all can't want this for me more than we want this for ourselves.
Yeah.
So that was it for Jasmine and Michael. They wrapped it up. So, I think the experts, their goal was to allow them, they wanted Jasmine and Michael to see eye to eye. They wanted them to see that they had potential, but Jasmine said, stop. Yeah, it's not happening.
It's not happening. Jinx, show me a coke. And I think Viviana was mentioned, like, you guys are just like counting points toward each other. Like, who messed up the most? Who did this? Mm-hmm. Who did that? Like, if you keep doing that, you're never going to get anywhere. I just think that it's not going to go anywhere. They're friends. We're going to leave that. Close the book on Mike and Jasmina. That's the story of them. They're just going to be friends. I think it's better. Everyone's better off. Jasmina needs to maybe dial down her expectations.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I've been saying this, you know, since she's only been in long distance relationships, I don't think she really has good expectations of what a in-person relationship would be.
I don't know. I know, like, what, you know, what people can be used to is their standard, or like that's what they know. But I don't know. I just feel like I kind of feel like how she feels, where it just wasn't him.
Yeah.
And if it had been someone who has all the qualities of Mike, but she was initially attracted to him, it would have been, oh, is this Brianna and Vincent? Like, these two are just inseparable. They feed off each other so well.
Yeah, if they felt that spark immediately, then I think they probably would have been fine.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. So we get next into the expert chat with Alyssa and Chris. We get right into it. Pepper says that she thought that they were giving Alyssa a great husband, and she doesn't understand why Alyssa saw, you know, such negative things in Chris right away, because we thought that we matched you guys very well, according to what you both gave us in your application process. Alyssa says, well, I really disagree with that. I don't feel like we were matched well at all, and I don't feel like with what I answered really aligned with Chris, because we have nothing in common and our core values do not line up. And then Viviana's like, no. Chris is exactly what you asked us for. And Viviana has receipts. She has receipts. A phone.
I literally put that in my notes. I said, Dr. V with the receipt.
Yeah. She has on a phone, like, Alyssa's like part of her application. She's like, the top five most important things you told us that you needed was somebody that was compassionate, funny, giving, hardworking, and loyal. And she says, is Chris is those things, right? Like, what about Chris is not any of those things? And then Alyssa says, like, I did not feel any sense of loyalty from him whatsoever. I'm like, how? You spoke to this man for maybe 5 minutes and you didn't speak to him for pretty much the rest of your 10 days or whatever.
Literally,
like, so how do you not get a loyal vibe?
I'm like, legit, when Dr. Viviana read off those characteristics, I was like, oh, she's gonna pick one of these. I'm surprised she didn't say, well, I didn't get funny from Chris. Like, he never made me laugh. Or, oh, I didn't get hardworking from him. I asked him his sales last month, and I mean, he sold like just 5 houses. Like, how are you going to be a real estate agent and not sell at least 10 homes a month?
Yeah. So Viv is still like pressing her, and Alyssa's like, listen, I came here because I was promised that I would not be attacked, and I'm feeling attacked. Viv also says, baby girl, we just asked you questions. Calm down.
Chill.
No one's attacking you. Don't run off the stage like you did an after party. Stay here.
I'm like, first of all, why did you need convincing to come on?
Right.
Like, nobody's after you. Nobody's trying to. No one has done anything to shed a light on you that was the opposite of what came out of your mouth.
Yep, and that's pretty much what Pepper tells her later. Alyssa says, "Well, I don't know how to articulate myself any better right now. I don't know." And you know, she wishes things were different. You know, and I wanted to find my person here, and I just don't want to. I just want to keep saying the same things over and over again. So Viviana says that Alyssa has said over and over again that the experts have failed. So this really felt like the experts like trying to defend themselves against Alyssa. Like, because Alyssa is basically trashing them, you know, over and over again. She says, you know, I don't want you to think that we failed you, because we gave you what you asked for. And Alyssa says, well, I just don't think I was matched well at all. So Cal asks the $1,000 question. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alyssa, so you keep talking about your core values. What are your core values?
I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it. Like, no, Alyssa, no, you started this. Like, come on, talk about it. Say what you mean.
She's like, no, these are my talking points. I don't expect you to press. This is just my point.
Has written on my note card the phrases I should say over and over again. And I'm not going to deviate from that. So she, you know, she's not going to say what her core values are. But they just were not matched appropriately. Cal says, well, that's funny, because, you know, when I talked to you earlier, you told me that you could see why you two were matched. So I think this is a conversation that Cal had with Alyssa, like, backstage, and she was like trying to be like,
no, he said Chris could see why they're matched.
Oh, I thought he said Alyssa said that. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, he said that he was like, Chris could see why y'all are matched. So it was so basically Pastor Cal was trying to prove like there was something there because one of you saw what.
But Chris, come on, let's be real. Chris didn't see it. Chris couldn't even get to know her. Chris is just trying to be nice. Okay. Because there's no way Chris could have seen anything. All he could see was her.
Yeah.
He found her attractive and was like, sure, this is a good start. But he couldn't find anything else out after that because she would not talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, because Chris did say throughout this, you know, the short time he's on the show, like, I can see why we were matched. And at the time we were like, what is that, Chris? Like, tell us what
you know nothing about her.
Yeah, I think Chris really just wanted us to work. It was kind of trying to force it to work, even though she was acting like really like horribly to him. Mm-hmm. But I still think Chris is in that mode of I'm going to be political. I'm going to be appropriate. I'm going to say all things that I should say. I'm not going to say anything mean.
Yeah.
but they do ask Chris, so Chris, what are your feelings about all this? Chris says, I don't think there's a perfect person for anybody. And, you know, everyone needs a certain amount of boxes checked. But they never got to a point where I was able to evaluate whether she checked my boxes because she had determined already that I didn't check so many of her boxes that she was just out already. Alyssa says, well, you know, it's really sad for both of us that we didn't get what we wanted. And, you know, I was willing to do anything to try and find my person. Girl, you didn't even talk to this man for 10 minutes to find out whether he would be your person. You're not willing to do anything. You are first step. You have to see if he is attractive to which, you know, is your standard of attractive. And if you don't see that, you're out immediately. So you're not willing to do, quote unquote, anything.
Yeah.
And she's always a pod. She's always saying, well, you know, Chris and I, we both didn't get what we wanted. Chris doesn't even know if he got what he wanted because
he doesn't know you.
Right. It's not like you both came into this. You both talked and you both were like, oh, yeah, you're not the person for me. Chris didn't even get a chance to go through that experience to find that out.
Yep.
I mean, he knows now because he saw you show your whole ass on TV, but
exactly
at that point, he didn't know any of that.
He was robbed of an experience. I mean,
for sure.
She never gave this marriage a chance and he was super hopeful. So it was just like he got the rug slipped from under his feet. And just before he knew it, he's like, oh, my gosh, why am I on the ground? And it's like, oh, Alyssa in the corner complaining to the producers.
Why is she drop? Why? Like, if anyone had aggressive hand motions, it was Alyssa when she was talking to those producers.
Yes.
Like, why is she gesturing so aggressively? So Pepper tells Alyssa, you know, the problem here is that you wanted what you saw as a vision in your head of what you wanted. And, you know, if we had known that, we wouldn't have matched you in the first place. And Alyssa said, well, I did tell you guys that if you couldn't find me my perfect match, not to match me at all. Well, Pepper says, "What? But you gave us such like a narrow. You have such a narrow template of what you're looking for, and if we had known that you were so narrow in your thinking and what you wanted, like that you wanted this like this cowboy stand up there, and that was all that you were looking for, we wouldn't have even tried to match you at all."
Right. I'm just thinking of all the women in Boston who applied for Married at First Sight and wanted this so bad and would have made it work with anyone under the sun. And they're watching this, seeing that Alyssa took their spot. And yep. She's so ungrateful. And she's so just, she's so over him. I mean, she was never into him, but she's so over this marriage and this experience with him. And it's just like, there would have been so many people that would have been happy to have Chris or have anyone to just be able to go through it at all. And now we got Alyssa.
I mean, listen, Alyssa provided me entertainment. So that's really what I care about. At the end of the day, was I entertained? Yeah. Alyssa provided me some entertainment. She burned brightly when she was here and it was worth it. I think we got the perfect amount of Alyssa.
Absolutely, because she left early.
Right. So she burned brightly, and I was happy. I got my crazy person of the season. I was good with Alyssa.
Yes, six episodes of Alyssa was more than enough.
Yes. Viviana tells her, you know, he needs to recognize you to stop looking at just the bad parts of people, because if you keep doing that, you're going to ruin every relationship you have. You're going to ruin your insides, your soul. Like, she's getting to a real soul level with Alyssa. Alyssa repeats once again for about the fifth time in this conversation that she is a good person And she was just shown in a light that she is not, you know, that she is not. And then Dr. Pepper's like, well, listen, Alyssa, like, we didn't put words in your mouth. Like, you said what you said. And Alyssa's like, well, maybe I'm just not explaining it correctly. I don't know. Like, oh my gosh, Alyssa. Dr. Pepper says, you know, I do feel bad for you, Chris, because it seemed like you really genuinely wanted to get to know Alyssa and you liked what you saw and you were feeling positive. But, you know, it all crashed down for you. And she asked him how he's feeling. He says, you know, he felt like an idiot on the wedding day because he has so much potential. He saw so much potential energy in the marriage, but he couldn't put it anywhere. But he doesn't regret doing it. But he probably wouldn't do it again. he learned a lot about himself. And, you know, he confirms with Kevin that he is still looking for love. Dr. Pepper tells Alyssa, hey, try not to make your list so long. And Alyssa doesn't even seem like she takes any of this to heart. She's just like, yeah, I have faith that I will find the person that I'm looking for.
I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm sure it's going to work one day.
I'll find my cowboy eventually. So yeah, that was pretty much it with Alyssa and Chris. It was, you know, same old tune, I felt. But, you know, we did get some good grilling on Alyssa, which I appreciated.
Right. I was so over like the experts being over her though, because I'm like, y'all are supposed to be doing these intensive interviews beforehand. You never got the impression that she cared this much about looks, like never.
Yeah. Like, this really felt like the experts' opportunity to go in on Alyssa because they saw so much footage of Alyssa being like, I hate the experts. The experts did me dirty. The experts, you know, don't know what they're talking about. So this was their time to really come in and just give it to her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they got their time.
They did.
It didn't do much, but they got their time.
Right. They just had to get some stuff off their chest.
Yeah. Viv came with the receipts and laid them down and, you know, right. But Alyssa never really answered any question that they had. Nothing. Which I didn't expect her to.
Yeah. She just tried to turn on the waterworks at moments and explain that she's a good person.
Like Alyssa do.
Right.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So then lastly with the experts, we got Lindsay and Mark. So this was interesting because they started on a very positive note. They hugged the experts as they came in, which did not happen with Alyssa and Chris. It was very awkward when Alyssa and Chris walked in. It's just like, oh yeah, you can walk this way around the table.
I don't want to hug you. I hate you.
Right. I don't know you because you don't know me. So Lindsay and Mark, they did hug the experts before they sat down. So they dive right into it. Lindsay said that it started to fall apart for her birthday, which was 7 days after decision day. She said Mark just gave her an IOU. And then about 6 weeks later, she was like, hey, Mark, what about that gift you gave me the IOU for? And he said, oh, I feel like it's probably too late. And she's like, well, I feel like you need to deliver on something you're going to like you say you're going to deliver on. What?
Again, this is like petty nonsense. Like,
yes,
you know, we're adults. Like, I'm going to get like real crappy about you not giving me a gift for my birthday. And it was like a massage. It was like, okay, first, like, number one, Mark, just give her a stupid massage. And Lindsay, don't be so petty about not getting a birthday gift. You're not seven. You're 30. Yeah.
Right. Especially if, like, you said it only lasted 7 days after decision day, but you're saying 6 weeks later, you're trying to cash in. At that point, the marriage is probably over. So he already has ill feelings for you because y'all have had such blow up arguments up to this point. So at that point, you're just asking to be petty. You're just asking because you want, you know, it's going to get a rise out of him and make him like, what? Yeah. What are you asking for? And she just wants him to just be this person that she has painted him to be, to make, to explain away her actions.
And you know, she probably brought up the IOU like in the middle of this, of another big fight that they,
yeah,
they were having. Like, and you never gave me that birthday massage you promised me.
Mm-hmm. Where is it, Mark? Where is it?
Yeah. This is you not being consistent. I asked for consistency.
Yes. She also said that he told her like he doesn't think she should stay at the house anymore. This was after like they worked on it and said that she doesn't have any rights in that house. She said on the day that my grandma died, he said, I'm out. I'm done. And so, you know, Mark at this point is just hearing this, like, what is she saying? And he's like, gives his side. He's like, I did everything I could to make her comfortable because I knew that when she came to that house, she was not comfortable. So I wanted to make the adjustments that she wanted so she could at least be comfortable. He's like, but then she made too many threats and we got in this big fight because he said, like, look, I need to go back to work. And she said, if he did go back to work, they would get divorced because she didn't like the pay. She didn't like the people. She didn't like anything about his job. So she literally threatened divorce if he went back to his old job.
And like, we never get confirmation from Lindsay's side whether or not she said these things or not. She just kind of looks at him like, okay. It almost like looked at me, almost felt like, why are you telling them all of this? Like, I told you, I didn't tell anybody, I'm going to beat you up when we get off camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because he's like, look, I'm not going to throw anybody. I'm not the type of person to throw anyone out on the streets, no matter how mean you are to me.
But then he did say, like, but you lived there 3 months, rent-free.
3 months, rent-free.
But then that made me think, like, was he being, like, landlordy about it? Like, because, I mean, would you say that to your wife or your husband? Like,
well, if she lived there and they had already broken up.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that, yeah, maybe it was that he broke up, but he just let her live there in one of the, because they kept saying it was like a 3-family home. So maybe it was like another separate part that she lived in. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's hard for me to imagine Mark being like, you got to go. You're like on nowhere to turn.
He may have gently tried to persuade her to make so other arrangements elsewhere, but he probably never said, I'm going to throw your ass out on the street. He'd, like, get her stuff in a trash bag and, like, threw it out on the lawn.
Right. Yeah, I can't picture that happening, but I can see him being at his final straw if they were broken up and just continuing to argue about stuff.
Maybe he drops, like, some apartment listings near her, like, hey, you might want to check this out.
Right. These look good, right?
Yeah.
So Pastor Cal was like, look, I see two people here who've completely lost respect for each other, and y'all both contributed to destroying this marriage. And then they kind of talk about her bullying, and she's like, look, I just went into fight mode. I was faced with fight or flight, and I went to fight mode.
Mark really wish you would have taken that flight mode.
Right. He was begging you to just take the flight mode. Dr. Pepper just goes on this long spiel about her. She just wants them to be better use. She wants them to be better people. And Mark just starts crying because he's like, it's really hard reliving all of this. And Lindsay, meanwhile, is rolling her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Cal's like, okay, Lindsay, how are you feeling? She's like, okay, if I'm being honest, and Dr. Viviana said no. You don't need to be honest if you're not going to have any tact.
This is interesting. This is interesting because Viv starts with this whole like, no. Don't be blunt and honest like you are. But then Cal was kind of like trying to get Viviana to like calm down. Like, no, let her speak.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Like an inner expert battle where Cal was like, no, Viv, let her speak.
Right. Like they had very different approaches.
Yeah.
But Dr. Viviana in this moment is trying to protect Mark from further just verbal just attacks, basically. And this is the moment that Lindsay goes, Viv, you're cutting me off. Just no doctor, no respect on her name. And Lindsay, like, I know that Dr. Viviana is very team Mark.
Yeah, that was interesting. Like, yes. I was like, what has happened behind the scenes here? Like, this felt like some brewing tension underneath that was there before from Viv and Lindsay. Like, maybe, like,
right.
that expert visit didn't go as smoothly as maybe they showed it, or, you know,
right.
they had some tension.
Yeah, it was very, very odd. It's like, she didn't get out of Dr. Viviana what she got out of Dr. Pepper and Pastor Cal. Like, very middle of the road, mediator. I think Dr. Viviana was just so fed up with what she was seeing from Lindsay that she was trying to give advice, but it was very skewed at Lindsay. I feel like you're the one that's messing up this marriage, yeah. and Mark is just doing his best.
Don't we find out we have another expert and contestant hookup later down the line?
Oh, Mark, my gosh.
Mark's going to go run away with Dr. Viviana like that one guy did with that expert a few seasons ago.
Oh, my gosh. I hope that it seems from Instagram Dr. Viviana is solid, but, you know, Instagram is never. Dr. Viviana and her husband are very solid, but things aren't always as they seem. But I really would hope that would not happen. So
I like to see it.
Oh my gosh. So Lindsay, she just doesn't feel like Mark. She doesn't feel like Mark is genuine. So she feels like his tears are not genuine, that they're not sincere. Pastor Chad's like, look, no matter how you feel about people, you cannot lose empathy. And Lindsay's like, well, even if I don't respect them, it's like, girl, stop. And Dr. Viviana says, look, y'all are both very similar. So I feel like this is just pointing out things that y'all don't like about yourselves. But yeah, that was a very that segment had some fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, anything involving Lindsay, you know, is going to have those fireworks.
Yeah.
So from the Mark and Lindsay meeting with the experts, we go back into this big group setting with all the contestants back out on stage with Kevin. Kev says, you know, you guys have had a lot of fun together. C talks with a dance party. Mark's the DJ, blah, blah, blah. Kevin talks about the honeymoon fight between Olajuwon and Lindsay.
Which is a very poor transition. Like,
yeah.
Yo, y'all had such a great time together. But okay, so the fight on the plane.
Right.
It's like, where was the transition?
So Kevin asks Olajuwon about it. And Olajuwon says, you know, that was a tough moment. You know, but you know, we it was important because we learned our lines with each other, like, you know, our boundaries. Mm-hmm. Lindsay says, you know, she respects Olajuwon and she knows they're both rough around the edges, so they kind of get each other. So they talk about the one-on-one conversation they had after they got back from the honeymoons, where they kind of learned about each other's boundaries, learned what gets on each other's nerves, so that this type of thing won't happen again. Lindsay says she enjoyed their one-on-one, getting to know each other. Olajuwon says, you know, throughout the whole thing, I was giving Mark and Lindsay a lot of therapy. You know, same with Mike and Jazz. I was giving them all sorts of relationship advice. And Kevin says, so why weren't you able to fix their issues? Is it a coincidence that the two people you were giving your advice to didn't work out? And Elijah's like, well, I'm not an expert, Kevin.
Wait a second. You just said you're giving therapy. And so it's so funny that he equated giving advice to people as, oh, that's therapy.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I'm not an expert, Kevin, so why are you butting yourself into their relationship? Maybe you should leave them alone. So we get this really fun clip about all the times Olajuwon messed up Katina's name on the honeymoon. So it's just a montage of him getting the wrong name. Jeanette, 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 Janina, Kanette. So, you know, I don't know. If I'm getting married to somebody, no matter how hard their name is, the next day, I think I'm going to remember their name, like, even if I've just met them.
Right. They're
a pretty important figure in my life now.
Yeah, and Katina's like, oh, it makes sense why he kept calling me wifey.
Yeah. And they all remark about how, you know, how horrible Olajuwon is with names. I was not surprised any of them. You know, then we get into what I think we were all kind of waiting on as part of this reunion. Kevin brings up the infamous bowling clip. And it's interesting how this conversation goes, considering that while the bowling clip was you know, going on, we saw the little squares of them reacting to it, and Lindsay is like laughing at certain
laughing.
Parts
of these I was clips. Like confused. How are you laughing? What's funny about that?
Yeah, Kevin asks. So do you think you went too far, Lindsay? So she says, you know, I feel bad about the delivery of what I was saying. I this, but that is what I was feeling, and I could have used kinder words. Kevin asked if she's working on what she says to people. She says, "Oh yeah, totally." The most unbelievable, yeah,
totally
ever. So she says, she starts trying to defend herself. She's like, "Well, I wasn't really saying that to him. I was just kind of like bitching to myself over in a corner." And then Kevin's like, "Yeah, but you were bitching to other people." And what he didn't say was also into a hot mic.
Yes, exactly. And like, Kevin, you know, you're mic'd up, or you're mic'd up. Period.
Yeah. Kevin asks if she's working on trying to figure out how to express herself better and kinder. She says that she is. And, you know, in those moments, you know, when she sees red, she sees red, and she lets it get to the best of her. Mark like chimes in and he's like, "You know, I really find it kind of sad that you can see that whole clip and not feel bad about how you spoke." And Lisa says, "Well, I do feel, I said I felt bad, didn't I?" And Mark says, "Yeah. You don't really seem that way. You don't seem that, you know, that remorseful." So usually when people feel bad about it, they come out and say it immediately. They don't have to be like badgered into saying they felt bad. Like they just kind of say it. So Kevin is like, "Lindsay, I think you should apologize to Mark right now. Go ahead." Like he's like the dad of the moment. He's like, "I think you should apologize to your sister or your brother right there. Go ahead." And so we get the, you know, that's a big commercial cliffhanger. Right. So we get Lindsay looking around. We get all the nervous faces of all the people involved. Everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, is she going to apologize? Is she not going to apologize?"
But so, right before we went to commercial, Lajuan goes, this is what we were talking about with accountability.
Yeah. Get the motivational speaker, like, "Lindsay, look at me. Remember we had this conversation that you got to take accountability? You got to do it. This is the time. This is the moment." So we come back for commercial and we get the Lindsay looking around. We get another like 20 seconds of everybody looking around, whether or not she's going to say it or not. And she finally turns to Mark. She says, "I am sorry that I hurt your feelings and I got so angry, but I can't take it back. And I could if I would." And Mark, you know, Mark is just like, okay. Mark is not like really accepting this apology like at Mm-mm. all. So I think he can tell this is kind of BS.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And then it's like everyone here is kind of like really treats Mark like a 6-year-old kid.
Like, yeah, he needs to. They look at him like he needs protecting.
Yeah. Steve's like, Mark, did you, is that okay? Do you need, you need her to apologize for anything else?" Mark's like, no, it's fine. And then Kevin's like, "Mark, no, speak up, Mark. If she needs us to apologize for something else, speak up." And so I think what, you know, they were all referencing, which Kev says to Lindsay, like, "Well, Lindsay, let's explain to you what we're kind of talking about. Mark says that, you know, you spit on him, you know, in one of your arguments." And, you know, Lindsay denies it. She says, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. She says, "Well, here's what it was. I said that if I had spit, I would spit on him. Like, if I had spit to spit, I'd spit it on him. I did say that. I said that." It's almost just as bad, right?
Yes.
So it's
both
not really,
are awful.
It's not really doing much to repair your image here, Lindsay. So Kev says he's just kind of hurt what he perceives as being spit on. And he asks her, can you just acknowledge that? And then, like Elijah comes in again and just like, listen, Lindsay, look at me. If you did it, just like, apologize for it. If it happened. No, we're all looking at you crazy because we think this happened. If it happened, just go ahead and apologize for it. No one's gonna look out. No one's gonna, you know, no one's gonna make you feel bad about it. We're just looking out for you and looking out for Mark. So then she goes to Mark. She says, "Well, I apologize that if, you know, in our, you know, verbal argument that if we got into, you know, contact and if some spit landed on you,
by chance, apologize. If it went through the air and landed on your t-shirt."
"I'm so sorry." So it's like admitting that she did it while not admitting that she did it. So we another kind of left, taking a left transition. Kev says, "Well, let's talk about you guys' intimacy exercises from Dr. Viv." And then we get a montage featuring all the sex talks and the sex exercises they did throughout the season. We get the Mark in a candy bikini. He says, "Yeah, that was awkward." No, the candy bikini was fine. The ball gag was awkward.
And Kev asks Noy and Steve, so did you guys ever do that public sex thing y'all talking about? And Steve's like, well, it was kind of semi-public. And I think Noy at first doesn't get it. And then he like kind of like says something to her. And she's like, oh, yeah, that. And then she's like, looks very embarrassed. She's like, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
I'm like, what time did she forget? Yeah. That was semi-public.
So we get into a segment about tweets. You know, we get a segment about Noy's camping and the look on Steve's face. This was a very like nothing thing. We reference, we did get an answer to a mystery that we were, you know, trying to solve in the beginning of the season. The mysterious stain on Olajuwon's underwear during the first night as a couple. We saw a scene where Olajuwon jumped on the bed and there was this mystery stain on his underwear. Everyone thought that Olajuwon had pooped himself, but Olajuwon reveals, no, it was in a pen that I had in my pocket. The pen busted and there was ink on my underwear. Sure, Olajuwon. Sure.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he had seen that, I feel like he would have just changed. Like, you already know you're shooting in your underwear. Why wouldn't you just change? You have a bag packed. I'm sure you have others that you could have just put on.
Yeah.
Especially to bed. I don't know.
Maybe but my thing, suspicious.
Yeah. My thing about this segment of Kevin reading tweets when they filmed this reunion, when only a few episodes are out at that point. Yeah. Like, first of all, I tried to look up one of the tweets. Nothing came up. So I don't know if these were, let's make up some tweets that would be tweeted.
Well, all the things they talked about were very early on. So this was stuff that, you know, had aired by then. So
that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, maybe they just pulled some live tweets from what has been shown, but I didn't find it. It's like, what the heck?
We also get a mention of Mark slowing down the intimacy after, you know, already having sex on the honeymoon. And Mark kind of explains that, you know, we had fun right before the honeymoon, but then things got rocky. And I wanted a more emotional connection. And Kev says, yeah, but after you'd already had sex, though, right? And Mark's like, yeah, kind of, I guess.
See, that's my problem with these tweets. They're too early on. These people did not see what transpired. We are way after anything that they are talking about. So it just felt so irrelevant. I could have done without this entire tweet segment.
Yeah, we did get a comment about Jasmina saying, now Michael. it was funny with Michael's like, yeah, I felt like one of her students at that point.
Yeah.
Funny little section there. We saw some bloopers. Nothing really to talk about.
Yeah, this has nothing on it's nowhere. I feel like with the Bachelor, Bachelorette bloopers, there's always something that makes me laugh. I did not crack a laugh with any of those because it wasn't like breaking the fourth wall. It was just like, oh, these are silly, goofy moments from the season rather than like, I want to see some production mess ups, you know?
Yeah.
Like a mic in the camera shot or something.
So yeah, that was pretty much it. Kev says, you know, there are good times, there are fun times, there are bad times, but, and you know,
everyone gets a little
last line
in.
Bad
chips.
Yeah. Well, Ajwa says, you know, we met as strangers, y'all became family, and it really helped our marriages that we all were able to come together like this. That's pretty much what they ended on.
Yay. End clap, 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 clap.
Golf clap.
So it definitely wasn't as good as part one. I was way more excited than what it gave, but we did get a legit preview of where they now. So yeah. We see a couple of things, definitely some reappearances from past Married at First Sight alum. So we see Chris is going to be going on dates or at least being accompanied to the retreat because they are doing like a getaway weekend with Olivia from season 11. That was before we started covering it on this podcast. But yeah, season 11, when they were in New Orleans, when Olivia was with,
Brett, I think his name was
Brett. Is it Brett or Brett? Okay. Yeah. And that was just an awful situation, for her. And then Alyssa is going to be talking to Ryan from last season from Houston, from season 13 with Brett and Ryan. It's like,
so she found her cowboy.
She said, he's exactly what I asked for. Oh, Ryan. Gosh. Really, Ryan, we're talking about the same Ryan, but whatever floats her boat. Jeff D is hanging out with Mike and Olajuwon, because we know that Jeff D and Olajuwon know each other from, was it from college, maybe?
Yeah, I think like college football or something.
Yeah. Mark goes on a date. And then Jasmina and Michael are having a conversation where Jasmina says, as your friend, do you think I deserve that? So yeah, another argument and, with them.
We got some more tension between Steve and Lindsay.
Yes.
And so let's talk a little bit about the new couplings of Chris and Olivia and Alyssa and Ryan. I think this is really kind of contrived. I don't really believe this is real.
I feel like Chris and Olivia is contrived, but I could totally see Alyssa going after Ryan.
Yeah, but I feel like there was so much talk. I remember around the times of like Alyssa's blowups, and everyone was like fan casting Ryan and Alyssa. And I think Ryan had even called him on social media and said like, hey guys, don't be so mean to Alyssa or something like that.
Yeah, but I feel like Ryan is totally not out of bounds for to think that Ryan would go for Alyssa, because remember he was rumored to be with Mindy from
yeah,
season.
I mean, listen, that's true. I think they would make a good couple because they're both awful people. And my motto is stick to awful people with awful people so they don't infect good people.
Right.
That's my motto. But like, I just don't believe it happened naturally. Like, I believe Mavs was like, hey, Alyssa, we'll fly you out to Houston, or Ryan will fly you out to Boston. You guys can meet up and we'll film it. And same thing with Chris and Olivia. I think,
see, I think it's mainly for Chris and Olivia. Because in what world are they connecting?
Right. I think Chris and Olivia would make a good, boring couple. I think they see that and would be like, hey, this would be a nice little pairing. You both got, you know, left suddenly in your marriages. Because Brett left Olivia in the middle of the experiment.
Yeah.
The process or whatever you want to call it. So it's like, hey, this would be fun. You guys are kind of both boring people.
Yeah,
you guys will make a good match. Let's make this happen. So I don't know if either of these happened naturally. I don't know what the future of these relationships would be, since, you know, they all live so far apart from each other.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what it brings next week, though.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think, yeah, we'll definitely get to see the dynamic. We'll get to see what kind of made up story came with it, because you know, we had last season how like, oh, Zach asked Bao on a date at pool when the other guys left. We know that was probably not the first time he asked her. So
yeah, they were already going out for like a couple months by that point.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see how they plan to shape those relationships or whatever they're doing. Situationships, they're just dating. What's going to happen? So that'll be interesting. But I do want to ask you something. I've been having a debate with one of my friends all day long. Who do you think is worse, Alyssa or Lindsay?
I have to give it to Lindsay.
Me too.
So I know that Alyssa very early on was the big bad of this season. But I think if we looked at it objectively, we can say that Alyssa never really was disrespectful to Chris to his face. Lindsay berated Mark several times, hit below the belt in all their arguments. So I would have to give it to Lindsay for sure. Alyssa's horrible, but I think Lindsay is even worse.
Say, okay, I totally agree. Her stance is that it's worse that Alyssa isn't disrespectful to Chris's face because you don't know what to expect from her. But for me, what Lindsay's doing, the emotional turmoil she has put Mark through is just awful. Like, Mark's going to need some time. He is going to need some time to learn how to trust a partner again after what he has gone through with her. With Chris and Alyssa, I feel like with Alyssa, she just wasn't attracted to him, and then she acted like a child about it.
Right.
But I feel like that literally anything Alyssa did, you can sum it, oh, she was acting like a child. She was acting like a child. You can sum it up. But Lindsay, like, we can't just sum up her actions. She's awful to whoever just makes her mad. She's awful to the experts that she's mad about them. She's awful to the other women that they've had to block her and unfollow her. She's awful to Mark, to his face, behind his back. And it's just like, she's, it the worst quality about her, in my opinion, is the fact that she tries to present herself as such a kind person. I'll do whatever I want for you. I'll do anything for you, but then throws it back in your face. Then she says, oh, but I did this and I did this and you don't appreciate it. You never said anything about this and this and this and this, that it, and this that I did out of the kindness of my heart. Yeah, no, don't do that.
And so many people have to, like, we've had to present her in so many times, like, hey, Lindsay, you know, all this good stuff you did doesn't, like, negate the bad stuff you're doing. Like, you're being horrible to this man. It doesn't matter all the times you helped him. We're still horrible to him. And Alyssa did all this stuff behind Chris's back. Lindsay did the same thing. So, like, yeah. She complained about Mark behind his back. And she also did it to his face. Spoiler alert to what we'll be talking about on our bonus pod. But I think Lindsay, for me, is going to go, like, maybe into my top worst spouses of this show.
Absolutely. Like, there's no doubt about it. There's no competition. There's definitely some competition.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But from a wives standpoint, like, I have to go all the way back to, like, Dallas with Mia, which it's like,
but they were both terrible to each other.
Exactly. Exactly. It was mutually toxic. The fact that, and I know people have their opinions about Mark. I know some people don't believe that he's genuine. Some people think the same thing Lindsay does, that they think he's not genuine and that he just, whatever. But there's no denying the things that she says to him and how she says, and just the disrespect she has for him and shows him when she tries to paint it that she cares for him so much, or she cared for him so much. And she did leaps and bounds to be an amazing wife, but then throws it in his face every single chance she gets. No, hands down, that's just awful. With Alyssa, she was just acting like a child. Because she didn't get her way from a physical perspective.
I mean, let's not forget just last week, Lindsay is here and apologized to Mark this episode. But let's remember just last week, which was probably like an hour or so in their real time when they were shooting this reunion. She came out with this letter and basically told him that he did nothing for her. He was awful. He's terrible. She said he had no intellect. This was just an hour before she apologized to him. Like,
yes.
Let's remember that. Let's remember all the horrible things she did compared to, now, could Alyssa have gotten there if they had given time? Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, Alyssa, as terrible as she was, as childish as she was, she tried to keep that part away from Chris / the cameras.
Yeah.
I really think if she had gotten Chris alone with no camera, she might have been a little more harsh towards him.
Yeah.
But she was trying to keep it cool, like, when she didn't think she's being filmed. So that's something. She is horrible. I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. She's horrible, but she's not on the level of Lindsay.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Agreed. We're on the same page. All right, guys, that is it for our coverage of part two of the reunion. Like we said, we will be back to talk about Where Are They Now. Jason, what are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. You can also find me on post-show recaps wrapping up This Is Us. We just finished up the series finale this week. That pod is out there now. Next week, we'll be doing kind of a retrospective of the show, talking about few of the characters' journeys, our favorite moments, favorite episodes, and you may or may not see someone else that is on this podcast on that podcast, but I cannot divulge any other further details.
Is it you?
I'll definitely be there, but you might find someone else that's also on this podcast there, but I can't say who exactly. That's where you'll find me nowadays. I was recently this week on the Crime Scene podcast. That's Crime SEEN podcast on the Robbins Podcast Network, hosted by two of our lovely guests from this season, Mari Forth and Sarah Carradine. We talked about the Netflix documentary Our Father. Heavy topic. We tried to cover it with some levity. So
y'all did a great job. I enjoyed it.
I had a great time. So check that out. It was a great podcast. So that's where you'll find me for now. Anything else coming up, you can find it on my Twitter. How about you, Asia?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. I also will be joining them on Crime Scene in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. If you subscribe to the Crime Scene feed, wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can hear all of those podcasts. It's very, very interesting. I actually enjoy just listening to those rather than watching any of the documentaries. I started Our Father and it was just like, oh, so I had to like,
it's dark.
Yeah, I stopped like 30 minutes in. I was like, I'll just listen to the podcast. And then, of course, you know, here talking about Married at First Sight every week, all year. And then
never ending.
And then, of course, you can subscribe to our Love at First Sight feed. And you can also get the Love is Blind and the Ultimatum coverage with my co-host, Mary Kukowski. I'm also joined Taryn Armstrong, David Bloomberg, and Lavina to talk about The Circle. We talked about episodes 9 through 12. And so I know the finale is out now, but if you want to go back and listen to that podcast, we had a good time talking about The Circle. And then, you know, later this year, Big Brother coverage, Big Brother 24 will be out. So you can catch me around there. So yeah, just give me a follow and you'll see whatever I'm up to. So until next week, we will see y'all then. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.